Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Kristen Osero. Jay Binkley, still not quite ready to be back here, but he should be back pretty soon. So I'm very happy about that. So I will hold this down again for another week, going solo. As always, gonna give you a recap on the top performers for draft eligible players coming up in the 25 draft from this past weekend. Also going to tell you a couple players who I think made themselves a little money with their performances this past weekend and in recent weeks. Plus, I give you a watch list for the best players to watch out for in this weekend's slate of games. But I want to start out talking about one of the biggest observations I had from this past weekend and how I think it actually relates to the 25 draft. One of the things that scouts, teams, etc., GMs look for aren't just, you know, how you perform throughout the entirety of the season. It's how you perform against the very top opponents, the most challenging teams, the most challenging opponents that you face during the season. That tape is more valuable than anything you're going to get when, you know, let's say you're Alabama and you play like Samford or the Citadel or whoever. You know, those games, it's nice to see those players perform well, get the tape out there for those games against lower end Division One or even the top end Division Two teams. But at the end of the day, that tape does not matter as much as when you get into conference play, as when you face ranked teams, when you face teams that have other, you know, draft eligible or highly thought of players at the position that you have to go up against. So if you're an edge rusher and you go up against a guy who's, you know, a tackle who is seemingly going to be drafted pretty high or around your level, people want to see how you perform against them. If you're a receiver, you're going against the top corner, how do you perform well against them? And the amount of big games has generally for most teams been pretty low. But this year, you're starting to see some changes. My biggest observation from this past weekend for college football is that I am so vindicated for the talk that I've had and the talk that many other people have had about expanding the college football playoff from 4 teams to 12 or 16. I thought 16 was the best. I was advocating for 16 all the way back in 2014 when they did the expansion. And I think there is vindication for that now because this past weekend was great. There are a lot of games that we would not care about if not for the college football playoff expansion. You know, Colorado-Kansas doesn't mean anything without the expansion. Alabama-Oklahoma is arguably not a very big matchup if not for the expansion. Ole Miss and Florida, not a big matchup without the expansion. But because those games means something because those teams are vying for playoff spots because you got 12 now instead of four. Now that tape is important because those are big games and those are big moments for those players. You got to show up. You got to play well. You know, if you're a quarterback and you don't play well in that game, your team probably loses. And then all of a sudden, scouts are going to be asking questions. Well, why didn't you play well against this team who, you know, on paper is mediocre? And you were playing in a spot where if you win that game, you stay in the college football playoff race. Or you're just on the outside, and a win can help propel you to get into that race. This past weekend was full of those kind of matchups. And it was a lot of fun to watch. And it just goes to show why that expansion was so important. Some people really wanted to defend that four-team college football playoff because they felt like they wanted to see the very best of the best. And then last season, you saw an undefeated team in Florida State fail to get in simply because their quarterback and their backup quarterback got hurt. And they were like, yep, actually, no, we don't think that you should be playing in the college football playoff. Now, that's not going to happen. Now you're going to have teams vying for the college football playoff, trying to get in there with those at-large seeds that are 2-3 losses. Now there's debate of whether or not Alabama even gets in because they went out and went down to Norman. Well, you know, they went up to Norman from Tuscaloosa, and they got handled by the Sooners. That's going to be important. It's going to be kind of like the NCAA tournament in basketball, both men's and women's, where you see those teams trying to get in the bubble. And the games that they play in their conference tournaments matter. The games that they play during towards the end of conference play matter. We weigh these teams' resumes against each other with tons of scrutiny. And that means that the players who are playing on these teams, who are being evaluated for the draft, these games are vital for them because these games are great material for tape. Great ways for teams to evaluate a player's mental fortitude in tough games, their mental toughness. That stuff matters. And that's something that's incredibly valuable to a scout because these guys aren't just measured by what they do on the field, their stats. They're also measured by the character that they show, their ability to play in these tough games, these tough environments, and handle that adversity that comes with it. You had a bad first half? Okay, well, we need you to go out there and have a great second half if we're going to have a chance to try to win the college football championship. That's important to scouts. Teams want to know that. It's the reason why you talk about like how the importance of, you know, converting on third downs are for quarterbacks. The importance for receivers to make clutch plays at the end of the game. The importance for DBs towards the end of the game to be able to maintain coverage on their receivers or pass rushers when they're tired and they've been having to go after the quarterback, they've been having to go after running backs, and it's late in the game, and it's a drive where, you know, if the other team scores, you lose. Okay, how do you handle that? Now we're getting more games like that with that kind of importance, and I don't think you can complain about it. So college football playoff, I think, had a big win this past weekend just from how many games that would be seemingly meaningless in previous years turn out to be really vital for the landscape of this playoff. I think it was great. You're going to see a lot of good tape out there. And I think as time goes along, with more teams having a chance to go in, you're going to see a lot of these teams, the competition level, the parity, I think is going to really shoot through the roof. Don't be shocked if you see like a college football playoff in the near future where all top four seeds lose. And the next thing you know, you've got, you know, a five seed hosting a semifinal, or like that would be incredibly fun to watch. And I think that would be something that, you know, if we had that kind of chaos happening, it only makes the game of college football better. So, like I said, that was one of my big observations from this past weekend. And, you know, it certainly kind of warmed my soul a little bit to see that competition out there and see a sport that I love improving before my eyes. Another observation I had, In regards to the quarterback, cornerback position for the Kansas City Chiefs, Chiefs defense hasn't played that well the last couple weeks. And, you know, me and Bink thought that corner was probably a secondary need, probably, late second day, early third day situation you want to address. I think now, with the way that the Chiefs secondary looks, with Jalen Watson being hurt, it kind of looks now that maybe they should look at getting a corner a little bit higher. I'm not saying first round. I still think pass catcher of some sort. I still think you want to get a defensive tackle. I think defensive tackle is a bigger need than I think a lot of people want to admit. But I also think corner. Day two, you got three picks on day two right now. I think corner is probably a position you want to look at addressing, because right now they are putting out guys like Nazi Johnson and Shamari Connor out there. And Nazi Johnson had a better day yesterday, but against Buffalo, he was getting whooped by Curtis Samuel. And Curtis Samuel was a good receiver. I mean, he's a really good receiver, but he was getting whooped by Curtis Samuel. Samuel had like three big catches on him. Justin Reed has been getting cooked in one-on-one man situations. They're sending receivers and tight ends on crossing routes when they're matched up against him, and he is getting cooked on a lot of these routes on crucial third down, should be stops. He's getting cooked on these routes. And I think, you know, part of there needs to be an adjustment on the part of Spags, where, you know, maybe you do what Buffalo likes to do, which is where you do hybrid coverage. You've got man on one side and you've got zone on the other, and you run that man coverage and you kind of fool the Josh Allen or whatever quarterback into thinking they got this crosser wide open going up against a safety, and then the safety comes up on the opposite end playing zone and jumps that route. That would be really nice to see, but certainly I think right now there should be some concern about guys like Nazi Johnson, guys like Shamari Connor and Justin Reed playing so much man coverage and getting cooked out there. Because if you're playing safety, you're playing safety for a reason. It's generally because you're not quite as fast or athletic to play that man coverage on the outside like you could if you were playing corner. And, you know, with Justin Watson being out, with you trading away L'Jarius Sneed, who, you know, L'Jarius Sneed wouldn't help them this year because he's been hurt most of the year. He's currently on IR for the Titans. So he wouldn't help you this year, but you probably should look at getting some more depth out there, because Nazi Johnson has kind of looked out of his depth there. Shamari Connor has kind of looked out of his depth there. Maybe that improves over the next few weeks as you lead into the playoffs, especially when you get Charles Omenihu back, because a big problem that they have is they're not generating pressure. And Charles Omenihu is arguably their second best pass rusher. So maybe his presence helps them out. But I do think if you're the Chiefs, you got to look at corner. You got to go get you a nice big corner who can play in that coverage. Jalen Watson's going into the last year of his contract next year. Shouldn't take for granted that he's going to be back. He might get a Charvarius Ward-type contract, maybe. Possibly. It's very possible. Chiefs might want to potentially look at two, because Joshua Williams was same draft class. Joshua Williams hasn't even been getting on the field for some reason. Got to ask some questions there. But corner is very quickly, I think, going to become a need for them. And I think it is smart for them to address it. So maybe a corner, two. In the 25 draft. And certainly I'm probably going to increase my cornerback scouting that I do, put some more guys at corner on the watch list, especially as we get into playoff time. This isn't a super top-heavy corner class. You might have two or three in the first round, but I do think there's good value day two, day three. And the Chiefs have done a very good job at maximizing the day three value for corners. Obviously, Jalen Watson, seventh round pick. Joshua Williams was a fourth round pick. They found some ways to get good value out of that position. But I do think corner might be a position that they should probably look to address sooner rather than later. So getting on to the Week 13 recap, I want to start with that Ohio State game as they took on Indiana. They beat the hell out of the Hoosiers. Emeka Egbuka had a good game, 7 receptions, 80 yards, and a touchdown. And then both edge rushers, basically the entire pass rush of the Buckeyes, went off against Indiana. Jack Sawyer had a sack and a half. JT Tuimoloau had a sack in that game. Once they figured out after the Indiana's first drive, once they figured out that they could just run zero blitz against them and they could overwhelm their line, they did that. And they were able to generate a ton of pressure on the Hoosiers and were able to get after the quarterback and the run game pretty consistently. So I thought, yeah, this is one of those games you're just way talented than your opponent. And these guys really showed why they're in the running there to be, you know, 2 of the top edge rushers in the draft class. Tight end Gunnar Helm for Texas. He had 5 catches for 51 yards, 2 touchdowns. Good, steady production that you're looking for from that position. The top tight end in this draft class, I think, you know, he's very much become that. Tyler Warren, Penn State, 8 catches, 102 yards. Again, showing the kind of athlete that he is and, you know, showing that he can consistently put up pretty good volume. Edge rusher Joshine Davis, a guy that I like. I think he's a very good fit in Spag's system. For Wake Forest, he had a sack in their game against Miami. And Cam Ward, quarterback for Miami, he was 27 of 38 for 280 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also had a pick in that game. It kind of seems like he's losing some steam in the Heisman Trophy race right now. It seems like Travis Hunter's picked up a lot of steam, though I really think that Ashton Genty should be the front runner there, because that man is Boise State. You look at Colorado, they've got a lot of other guys there that are helping keep up, you know, pick up the load there. They probably got like, you know, a couple of guys aside from Travis Hunter who will probably be like day 3 picks or priority undrafted free agents. But you look at the situation there with Genty is a little bit different. He is Boise State's offense. But yeah, Cam Ward starting to fall out the race a little bit there, but still putting up good numbers, good performances. I think there's going to be a big debate about him and Shedeur Sanders for the top quarterback, but Cam's still my guy. Jackson Dart, quarterback for Ole Miss, 24-41 for 323 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was having a hell of a day. He also had 14 carries for 71 yards. He was having a hell of a day against Florida. They were not scoring. They were not scoring a whole lot, but they were converting. They were able to move the ball down the field on Florida. I mean, he never had any issue moving the ball on Florida at all. They would just get into fourth down situations and then they would turn over on downs and whatnot. But they had opportunities against Florida. And then late in the game, when he had an opportunity to go out there and put some really good tape out there showing his ability to lead his team in a comeback on the road, against a team that's starting to get a little hot, not only on the field, but in recruiting in Florida. And he did lose his top receiver in Trey Harris, who only had 1 catch in the game for 43 yards. He re-aggravated a groin injury he had been suffering before the game. And then he just throws these 2 inexplicable, really 3, because one of them got called off. He threw 1 into triple coverage, into the end zone, just bombed it down the field, easy pick. Then, next drive, he throws 1, it gets called back because they said it wasn't a catch, and then, again, throws another pick. And none of these picks were like he got fooled or anything. He literally just heaved it. He just chucked it down the field. He just said, F it, chucked it down the field, and it was it was like a Madden pick. That has to hurt his draft stock a lot. And I've been, you know, saying he was in that fringe first round range because he's put a lot of good tape out there. But I think for him, if he's able to have good interviews, if he's able to look good at the combine or whatnot, look good at the Senior Bowl, you know, receive coaching very well. He could bolster himself up into that first round range. It's very, very possible. It certainly happened with a lot of other guys in this past year's draft, in this year's draft. But that performance right there is one of those performances that if you start to see something that on tape that gets you excited about this kid, that performance is one where it's like the meltdown that he had at the end of that game can't give you a lot of confidence that he's going to be able to be the leader of an NFL franchise and be the guy that you can build around for years to come. Maybe you still can. Maybe that's a moment that's teachable. He can learn from it and he can ensure that he never has that kind of a performance again. But man, are you willing to risk it in the first round if you're a team? Maybe you can take that risk day two. Third round, maybe you got a compensatory pick or something. He's sitting right there and you've got your starter for a little bit, but you feel like you got to start looking at developing a quarterback. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the time to go get him. Maybe your quarterback, you got some questions about. So, hey, let's go get this kid in round three and let's see what he's about. Maybe he can be a decent starter for us. Maybe he can be our franchise guy. You know, it's really hard to find a guy outside the first round that's your franchise guy, but it's very possible. That performance that he had against Florida is one of those performances where you look at and you're like, that's disqualifying for the first round and maybe even the second round, because that was him losing the game for them. Now, you know, he certainly didn't lose the game for them up until that point. And if he would have just failed to convert on those drives, failed to score those touchdowns and they lose, it is what it is. You lost your best wide receiver. But not only did you lose your best wide receiver, and you were playing well after that, but then you went out there and you lost your team the game. And that right there absolutely had to cost him some money. Edge rusher Princely Amonmielen, in his return to Florida after having transferred before this season, he had a sack. Certainly wasn't a good homecoming for him. He actually left the game a little early in the few, with a few seconds left, a little embarrassed about the performance that happened there. And then wide receiver Elijah Badger, a guy that I had as one of my money makers last week, continues to put up good performances. He had a 5 receptions for 87 yards and a touchdown against Ole Miss. Georgia quarterback Carson Beck, 20 of 31 for 297 yards, 4 touchdowns. Again, this is another guy, fringe first-round guy. Scouts really like him. You look at the film, there's some questionable stuff on film. Go back and watch the Florida game when you know they played each other in Jacksonville. A lot of bad picks in that game. But then you see a game like this where he gives you something to be excited about. So we'll see how the pre-draft process works. I think you got to think he's going to go Senior Bowl. And then edge rusher Mikael Williams for the Bulldogs had a sack in the game. Edge rusher James Pierce Jr. for Tennessee, he had 2 sacks in Tennessee's game this past weekend. Very quiet. You're not seeing the hype for him that you're seeing around like some of these other guys. But this is a guy I think like true first-round grade on. You could argue he's the best. I still think Abdul Carter's the best edge rusher. But James Pierce Jr. going into the season was generally considered the best edge rusher. And I think he still makes a good case for it, even though he's not my best edge rusher. Running back Ashton Jeancey, the guy who should be the leader in the Heisman Trophy race. 19 carries, 169 yards, and a touchdown. Again, he just continues to be Boise State's offense. Quarterback Shedeur Sanders for Colorado. 23 of 29 for 266 yards, 3 touchdowns. Good performance from him. Not his fault that the Buffaloes lost to KU. He's not playing with a great line. He's having to move around a lot. He's holding on to the ball a lot because teams know that, you know, he's got to chuck the ball down the field. But I will say this. He's a tough kid. He showed something in this KU game because he was getting hit a lot. There were some times where he had to lower his shoulder and try to run some people over to get some yards on the ground, and he was doing it. I you know, he took a nasty hit where, you know, he was trying to throw on the run and a guy came in low and hit him below the knee, and he basically flipped over and landed on the back of his head. It was nasty. No penalty on the play. Should have been a penalty at the very least, maybe an ejection. But it definitely was one of those performances where you're kind of looking at the scenario, and it definitely I think was a character game for him. I have definitely questioned his ability as far as, you know, to handle coaching, because his dad's been his coach pretty much the entire time he's played football. That was a game right there. If you're looking for a quarterback, if you're the Giants, you're looking for a quarterback in the top five of the draft, the Raiders possibly, the Browns maybe. That's a game where you're like, okay, Shador showed me something. Even if they didn't win, I definitely saw some encouraging things from Shador. Travis Hunter, 8 catches for 125 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's, like I said, I think he's the best receiver in the country. I think that this game really showed that. He's electric after the catch. He can make these difficult catches. Is he 6'5", 205 pounds? No, but he's got, you know, he's similar. I think he's a little bit smaller than like Devontae Adams. But again, I comp him with Devontae, and I think he definitely has the skills to be one of the best, if not the best receiver in the NFL at some point in his career. So showed a lot there. He says he's going to try to play two-way at the NFL level. Again, I don't know if a team's going to let him do that, because the wear and tear on your body, you only get so many hits out there. And if I was a team and I made that investment to go get him top five, he's playing wide receiver. That's it. That's the only thing he's playing is wide receiver. He's not the only way I'm letting him play both ways is occasionally on crucial drives, maybe. But he ain't about to log 140 plays a game. That's not going to happen. And then running back Devin Neal for KU, 37 carries, 270 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown as well. This kid basically carried KU's offense. KU did not punt in the game. The only drive that they did not score on was the final drive of the game, where they knelt to burn the clock out. Devin Neal was KU's offense. He carried. It was funny. The punter for KU, Australian kid, his family came all the way from Australia to Kansas City to watch him punt in that game against Colorado. And he didn't get to see the field because Devin Neal was destroying Colorado for 4 quarters. He was just slashing through their defense. You know, I mean, obviously he averaged 20 yards a catch. Like I said, Devin Neal, I think definitely really kind of popped some people's eyes with his performance in this game. And that's definitely going to be one where you're looking at him now, and you know, he might have helped himself out a little bit with how he performed this weekend. Wide receiver Luther Burden for Mizzou had 7 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. I was very impressed with what he brings on a usual basis. His stock, though, seems to have taken a hit because he's not putting out these great performances. You got to remember, his quarterback play has been a little because Brady Cook has been hurt and they don't really have a backup. So for him to be still producing at the level that he is, even though they did kind of play with their food a little bit this past weekend against Mississippi State, I still got to give him a lot of kudos for how he's played. Caleb Johnson for Iowa, 35 carries, 164 yards and a touchdown. This is a workhorse guy, plays in an offense that really isn't dynamic, even though they're better this year than they've been. And he just continues to go out there and carry the load. And this is a guy I really like for the NFL level. Tedderell McMillan, wide receiver for Arizona, 9 catches, 115 yards. Consistent, good, strong performance. He's tough to cover. He's going to be a problem in the NFL. Edge rusher Kenneth Grant for Michigan, he had a sack. Not an edge rusher. He's a defensive tackle. This is probably, I mean, you make case second or third defensive tackle in this draft class. Running back Taj Brooks for Texas Tech, one of the best running backs last couple years in Division I, 28 carries, 133 yards, 3 touchdowns. On the opposite end, you had Ollie Gordon, running back for Oklahoma State. He had 15 carries, 156 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also had 3 catches for 30 yards. Certainly there's been some injury issues with him. There's also been some talent issues around him. Quarterback situation hasn't been good. His offensive line situation ain't been that great. And he went out there and he showed out. Wide receiver Dejon Stribling for Oklahoma State also had a big game. They started, I think it was like their third or fourth quarterback. He's a true freshman kid. you had some injuries and whatnot, so they just decided to play that kid. And Stribling took advantage of that opportunity. Seven catches, 133 yards, and a touchdown. I think, again, probably a day three guy, but certainly could put on some good tape for some opposing for some teams out there in the draft. Could be a guy that, you know, fourth round, somebody tries to trade up and go get, because you can see some of the talent out there. You can see that in the performances. He just hasn't been able to put it together week to week because he doesn't really have a quarterback that can carry the load there and get the ball to him consistently. Running back that I've been talking about the last couple weeks, R.J. Harvey for UCF, 16 carries, 130 yards, two touchdowns. He also had two catches for 19 yards. Edge rusher Landon Jackson, a new addition to the watch list for Arkansas. He had a sack this past weekend. Ja'Cory Brooks from Louisville, wide receiver, four catches for 68 yards and a touchdown. And then D.J. Giddens from Kansas State, running back. He had 15 carries, 143 yards, and a touchdown. He also had three catches for 29 yards as well. So getting to the guys that I think made themselves some money this past weekend with their performances. Starting off with Devin Neal, running back from KU. This is a guy that's been on the radar. I've talked about him as a potential top five running back in the draft class. Had him in that range of like third, fourth round. I mean, he really showed something this past weekend. Very consistent. This kid can really take care of business out there in the passing game, in the running game. I haven't seen a whole lot of opportunities for him as like a pass rusher. I mean a pass protector. But you really like what you saw and like the character. Like after the game, talking about, you know, how he wanted to put the team on his back and carry them and give them that win in this big game. It's a big game with a lot of eyeballs on it. And he brought his A, and this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Big game, a lot of people watching. This is a game, is a character game for you. Season hasn't gone the way that KU wanted, but you still got something to play for. You could shut it down. You could be like, yeah, I'm gonna take care of myself so my draft stock doesn't take a hit from an injury. And yet he goes out there in a big game, tons of people watching, and he balls out. Gotta give him his credit there for showing up when his team needed him to, because you know, if you look at his production the last couple of years, it's been really consistent. He has a chance if he I think he rushes for 67 yards, he'd be over 1,200. He'd be 1,200 plus rushing yards last two seasons. He can catch. He's had 20 plus receptions three of his four seasons playing at KU. This kid is incredibly productive, and he's showing you everything that you want. The pass protection is going to be something, you know, you're going to have to see more when you get into the, you know, draft process and whatnot, because he doesn't have a lot of opportunities in that scenario there, because KU doesn't really do it a whole lot. But Devin Neal, I think, put a lot of really good tape out there. A lot of usage, too. You're talking about 37 carries. You know, early in the year, me and Bink criticized KU for their usage of him, because there was a lot of games where he was getting like 14, 15 carries. And it's like, this makes no sense. You need to be utilizing your running back this way, because he's one of the best in the country. He's very underrated. You got to use your best players the way that you can. I would have liked to see him get some more receptions throughout the season. You know, he's just barely over 20. I think he's got like 21 on the year. But this is a kid that you see that talent there when you watch him on tape, and especially with the way that running backs are becoming so important at the NFL level, where you got guys like Saquon who are making, like Saquon is making a very good statement for being in the MVP race right now with the way he's playing for the Eagles. And then you look at guys like Devin Neal, you look at all the other really good running backs in this draft class, and it kind of makes you think that maybe this is a guy that should probably see a little bit higher of a draft pick than normal. The other guy I think made themselves some money this past weekend was running back Ollie Gordon for Oklahoma State. Ollie hasn't had that great of a year. Last year, he was a 1,700-yard rusher. This year, he has definitely taken a huge step back. I think he's just over 800. This past week, though, 15 carries, 156 yards, three touchdowns, three catches, 30 yards. He has not been that consistent. Certainly there have been some injuries, but also not a lot of great talent around him. And the Cowboys season has not gone very well. But all he could have shut it down, as just the same way we talked about with Devin Neal. All he could have shut it down. He could have said, you know what? I'm gonna save myself because I don't want to hurt. I don't want to get hurt and ruin my draft stock. Instead, he's out there every single week. A lot of games, his production hadn't been that great. He's like just over 50 yards, somewhere between like 15 to 18 touches sometimes. Nothing great there. Not super efficient with his touches. And then you see a game like this, and it reminds you of what kind of talent he was. Going into the season, we were telling you that Ollie Gordon was the best running back in this draft class. At this point now, it's hard to make that case. Ashton Gentry has run away with that number one designation for the position. But I still really, really like Ollie Gordon. I think Ollie Gordon could be an instant impact running back for a team. I think his skill set translates perfectly to the league. And he just needs an opportunity to go out there and prove it. His draft stock's probably taking a hit. It's probably taking a hit from what it was at the beginning of the year. But I think this performance here, what he could do in, you know, the remaining game, I think they have one more game left. What he could do with that game, it could very well help him recover some of the losses that he's had. So I think he's made himself a little bit of money here, because I think this was a good way to remind people that he's still one of the best running backs in this draft class. I think at this point now, I mean, based on how he's performed, you know, it'd be tough to make a case for him being top three. He might still be top five. But I don't know, man. If a team like the Chiefs were to have Ollie Gordon sitting out there with their second, third round pick or with their fourth round pick, and you could go take a kid like that, that could be an instant impact guy, and he could sit a year behind Pacheco and then become the starter in 26. I don't know how you pass that up with that skill set. So moving on to the Week 14 watch list. Starting on Friday, Oregon State's going to take on number 12 Boise State. You've got Ashton Gentry, the running back there. You also have Oklahoma State taking on number 16 Colorado. That being Ollie Gordon, who I just mentioned. You also have Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, wide receiver, cornerback. Those two guys definitely those two guys could be top five. And this is a big game for Colorado because this isn't a game you can lose. You lose, your any and all hope you had of the playoff is gone. Right now, they're barely clinging on to their playoff hopes. They need help to get to the Big 12 title game, which, you know, if they don't get in, they're not getting into the playoff. So they absolutely need this one. And you look at Oklahoma State, and pride is a very important thing. It's a very powerful thing. And, you know, this might be Ollie Gordon's last game playing. This probably is Ollie Gordon's last game playing for the Cowboys. So expect him to go out there and try to bowl out to try to make him some more of that money back that I think he's lost throughout the year. Mississippi State takes on Ole Miss. You've got Jackson Dart, quarterback for the Rebs. You've got wide receivers Trey Harris. If Trey Harris plays, he does have that groin injury. He aggravated it against Florida. But he looked like he was in for a big game. He had, one catch for 43 yards. He was looking like he was in for a big game before he got hurt, because he was able to beat two guys down the field for a deep touchdown. Juice Wells, who did not put good tape out there. He dropped some balls against Florida. He did not do a good job of carrying the load with Harris out. And then, yeah, Princely Umamulin, edge rusher, guy I've been talking about here. I've been talking about him since last year. Didn't really impress his last year at Florida. This year, though, started slow. He's had a great last month and a half. Had a sack against Florida. He's definitely still continuing to impress. Definitely a guy to watch out for. Stanford takes on San Jose State. My guy, Elijah Manner, wide receiver for the Cardinal. I really like this kid. This is a kid who's just having good, consistent production. He's generally over 50 receiving yards, getting a lot of targets. Still really like what he did. Wide receiver Nick Nash on the opposite sideline for San Jose State Spartans. Nash didn't have a great performance this past week. He only had one catch for 9 yards, but still a guy I really like as a day three guy, supplemental, Justin Watson type. You know, I was talking with Bink about this on Saturday. I was like, he gives me Justin Watson vibes. I really like this kid. So definitely a good matchup to watch, even though it's going to be like a 9 o'clock start on Friday. Not a whole lot of fanfare, but I think that's definitely a game to watch if you're deep in the game like me and Bink are. Georgia Tech takes on Georgia as well. Carson Beck, who just up and down all season long, a lot of talent though. Both guards, Tate Ratledge, Dylan Fairchild. I think guard is going to be another position for the Chiefs to look at because Trey Smith, he's going to get the bag this offseason. Edge rusher Mykael Williams and edge rusher Jalen Walker as well. Both those guys could be good. Mykael's probably not going to be there for the Chiefs, but Jalen Walker could be. We'll see. His draft stock, I think, is kind of up and down, maybe first, maybe second. Samael Mondon Jr., linebacker for the Bulldogs as well. And then the final Friday match will be Nebraska taking on Iowa. That's for running back Caleb Johnson, workhorse guy. I also think he's another fit for what the Chiefs like to do. He's got a little bit of size to him, about 6'2", 225. This is a guy the Chiefs do like, the bigger backs like that. The guys who are going to lower their shoulder and try to run over a linebacker, run over a DB. So Caleb Johnson, certainly a guy to watch out for. Moving on to Saturday. You got Michigan taking on Ohio State, that big matchup. It ain't that big this year because Michigan is not that good. But Ohio State's loaded, and Ohio State is in a really good spot to go deep in the college football playoff, maybe even win the whole thing. Their running back tandem of Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, who ran all over Indiana last week, they're going to be out there. Emeka Egbuka had a good game against Indiana at wide receiver, probably late first-round guy. Both guards for them, Donovan Jackson, Carson Hensman. Then on the defensive side, you got Tyleek Williams at defensive tackle. Both of their edge rushers, Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, and their cornerback tandem, which again, cornerback, probably a position you want to look out for, Denzel Burke, Jordan Hancock. Then Tennessee takes on Vandy. You got Brew McCoy, wide receiver, probably going to be a day three guy, maybe even undrafted, but the measurables, the talent you really like. James Spraggins for the Javonte Spraggins, actually, for Tennessee at guard. And then you've got James Pierce Jr., edge rusher for the Vols as well. Louisville takes on Kentucky, wide receiver Ja'Cory Brooks for the Cardinals, and then wide receiver Dane Key for the Wildcats. Duke taking on Wake Forest, edge rusher Jasheen Davis, I think is a really good fit for the Chiefs. With his body type and whatnot, he could be the defensive tackle answer for the Chiefs. He could be a three tech at the next level. Put on a little bit more muscle there. Because he can play on the edge, you can move him around. Yeah, I like what he could be for the Chiefs if they were to go get him. KU takes on Baylor. And you got Devin Neal for KU, running back. A guy I would love to see playing at Arrowhead in red and gold next year. This past performance he had against Colorado, I think should really put him on the Chiefs' radar. I think he fits what they like. He's a dog out there. And they also got Kobe Bryant and Melo Dotson, two corners you should also be looking at if you're Chiefs fans. Those guys got good size to them, man. They both have the body types I think the Chiefs covet. They're good size. I think they're both over 6 feet tall. I think they both played pretty well. Considering the situation they were in, I think they actually both played pretty well in that game against Colorado. West Virginia takes on Texas Tech. Running back Taj Brooks, going to be one of the more underrated running backs. Don't be surprised if next year he starts out as a backup to somebody and then wins that starting job and he kills, and he's a great fantasy addition, waiver wire edition in the middle of the season. Taj is going to be one of those guys that goes under the radar, but he's a very productive and very consistent running back. Maryland takes on Penn State. Tyler Warren, I think that's the dream scenario in the first round right now. I actually, you know, I was watching the game yesterday at Chicken and Pickle the first half, and I was talking with a Penn State fan, and, you know, he was singing the praises of Tyler Warren and his athleticism and whatnot. And I was like, man, like, And don't be shocked if he ends up in that red and gold, because there's a lot of projections with him late in the first round. Maybe that his stock shifts up even further and you start seeing him in the late teens, early 20s. But that's a guy that would be priority first round for me if he were available. Edge rushers Abdul Carter and Danny Dennis Sutton are also two guys to watch out for. Abdul Carter, still my favorite edge rusher. Notre Dame takes on USC. You got tight end Mitchell Evans. You've got defensive tackle Howard Cross the third. Good rotational guy I really like as a third day guy. Linebacker Jack Kaiser and cornerback Benjamin Morrison. Probably a top three corner, in my opinion. Auburn takes on Alabama. You got wide receiver Jeremy Bernard, who had some good catches in that game against OU. Took some tough hits, you know, made some good catches over the middle of the field when you got coverage bearing down on you. I definitely think he showed some toughness. Almost made my money makers just from that, because, you know, in the NFL, sometimes you got to go over the middle and you got to be ready to make a tough catch and take a hit, and he was able to do that. So I really like what Jeremy showed. Their guards, Tyler Booker, Jaden Roberts, defensive tackle Jaheim Otis, and then Damani Jackson, cornerback. Number 8, Miami takes on Syracuse. Quarterback Cam Ward. Wide receiver Xavier Restrepo. Two guys I'm huge fans of. Arizona State takes on Arizona. Wide receiver Teteroa McMillan. He will not play for the Chiefs. I would be shocked if he were available. But, man, he is, again, Mike Evans. He's going to be special. Just watch him, just because if you really love watching great wide receiver play, that's a guy you want to watch because he's going to be super productive. Arkansas takes on number 23, Mizzou. That's Luther Burden. The chances that the Chiefs could get him, or at least be able to trade up to go get him, looking a little bit better, because, you know, I think a lot of people are starting to get a little bit less enthused about him for, you know, some inexplicable reason, but I think he's really talented. NC State takes on North Carolina. Running back Omarion Hampton, maybe tight end Bryson Nesbitt, but he hasn't played the last few weeks. Oklahoma takes on LSU, maybe Deion Burks, but Deion Burks hasn't played the last few weeks. Both linebackers, Danny Stutzman and Desam McCullough. Danny Stutzman had a really good game against Alabama. He looked really, really good against the Tide. And I think he definitely put some good film on there, out there for him. He did a really good job in the run game, and I was impressed by what he showed. Gentry Williams, corner for OU as well. Washington takes on Oregon. Dylan Gabriel, I mean, I don't think he's going to be a high pick, but, you know, maybe he starts to kind of rise up some draft boards, and maybe he's like a day two guy. I don't know. I think his stock right now is still dependent on what he shows in the playoff. But Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart, the right wide receiver duo they got there, both of those guys are probably going to go before round four. They got a tackle combo as well with Josh Connerly and a Johnny Cornelius that you should be looking out for. Jamari Caldwell, defensive tackle. Edge rusher Jordan Birch. And cornerback Jabbar Muhammad. Texas takes on Texas A&M. Isaiah Bond, certainly someone to look out for if he even plays with his health. Tight end Gunnar Helm, who's been a consistently good tight end this year. Certainly top five, maybe top three, but he's definitely been, I think he's made himself a lot of money at that position. Tyler Warren, I think, has made the biggest, most drastic improvement, because he was probably number three and he's a clear number one now. But Gunnar Helm wasn't even top five. And now you could probably make a case he's third or fourth. You also have Kelvin Banks, the tackle for them. Kelvin Banks, you can make a case, is probably the second best tackle in this draft class behind Will Caldwell from LSU, who I didn't mention in the LSU matchup, but Will Caldwell and Emory Jones, tackles for LSU. But yeah, Kelvin Banks, certainly got to watch out for. Probably going to be top 15, though, you know, the tackle class this year isn't as great. For those of you who are still sticking on the Chiefs should draft a tackle first round, not that great. Then you have edge rusher Nick Skorton, who would be a great fit, I think, for the Chiefs. Think he would be great playing, you know, three tech. He could play on the outside as well. He does rush a lot from the outside for A&M, so that would be a kid to watch out for. Shamar Turner, who is going to be at the Senior Bowl, Next week, I will have an update on more Senior Bowl invites and players who have accepted those invites. And then you also have Willie III, the cornerback for A&M. K-State takes on number 22, Iowa State, running back DJ Giddens, who, again, has very quietly just been having a nice, good year. Nothing crazy because K-State isn't really a great team or anything, but just quietly had one of the better years, and I think you got to be impressed with what he's shown, and he's another guy. Wouldn't be shocked if he goes out there, quietly takes a starting job, and turns into a nice little decent starting running back for a few years. And then finally, Virginia takes on Virginia Tech, edge rusher Antoine Powell Ryland. Love this kid. I think he is a good rotational edge rusher, and he would be a guy I'd love to see taken later in, you know, day three, if you want to get him round four. I think he might be there round four or round five. I don't think the Chiefs have a fifth round pick, but they certainly could make, they could find a way to get back in if they really wanted to. But I really like this kid, and I think he'd be a nice little fit for them. So with that, that is the end of the show for this week. I would appreciate it if you downloaded, subscribed, gave 5 stars. I appreciate you guys listening to, we appreciate you guys listening to us a lot. Like I said, Bink should be back here pretty soon. I'm going to be very excited to be able to get his opinion on the landscape of college football the last few weeks and how that affects the draft. I think certainly we have seen some new points of concern for the Chiefs, some points of emphasis for the draft in 25, and we are very excited for the pre-draft process to get here because the playoff is going to be really important. And then as we get closer to the actual start of the combine, start of the Senior Bowl practicing and the combine, that's going to be really important as well. And that's when we're really going to start to ramp things up, probably do some stuff on air as we get closer to the draft. But for Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. Again, thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to me talk about this sport that I love, and I'll catch you guys next week.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.